CBSi in the world. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Zuckerman. A Shot to Save the World is his new book, the inside story of the life or death race for COVID-19 vaccine. The competitors, one to go, Novavax, the little company that couldn't. Novavax is following Gail Smith's genius with the insects, and Novavax is the laggard. Novavax is not going to catch up, but the advantage here is that Novavax is also of a vaccine that can be easily transported and can be used worldwide. So I wanted to cite that not everything goes to the, if it's the hare, the rabbit in the hare, Gregory, is often, it's good to be slow-footed here, because you have opportunities that are going to develop over many years. We don't know where Novavax has gone, but they were down, they had 30 or 40 cents in the till when they finally broke through. Is that how low, how little money did they have at the end, Gregory?
Yeah, I love the Novavax story, frankly. So here's this company that spent years failing. They tried to make vaccines for pretty much everything, HIV, SARS, swine flu, Ebola, MERS, you name it. They tried to create a vaccine and they couldn't. This guy, Gail Smith, is the head scientist there. And yet they still believed in their approach, creating a protein in the labs, injecting it, and then teaching the immune system. And then they turned down a dime in early January 2020. And as you suggest, at that point, they were running out of money. They had only about 4 or 5 months of cash left before they were going bankrupt. Employees were sending resumes out. It wasn't clear. They were taking one last chance with a flu vaccine. It wasn't clear they were going to stay alive. And yet they believed in their method. And they turned down a dime and said, you know what? Let's see if we can create a coronavirus vaccine. And it took a little while and they had all kinds of setbacks, and the Operation Warp Speed kicked them out of the manufacturing plant they were working in, and they had to find another one. But they did succeed in developing a vaccine that looks really protective and effective. And we don't really need it in the West, but we do need it elsewhere, partly because it's cheap, partly because it doesn't have to be kept at cold temperatures, and partly because it does really look very protective. So assuming this little company, obscure, overlooked, underwhelming for many years company in Maryland, can manufacture enough of these vaccines, they could be the ones to save millions in places like Africa and Asia.
Because the story is not done. Gregory's giving us the beginning of this story. Other companies are now participating in the pursuit of a better vaccine or remedies for COVID-19, which at this point, I tell myself listening to me in the future, we don't know whether it's going to become endemic or remain a pandemic or whether there'll be another iteration. We don't know. At this point, manufacturing these vaccines, they don't know about the Delta variant. They don't know about the way that the virus will change as it spreads around the planet. They don't know about how seasonal differences will matter. They just want something that is going to work in their trials, their phase 3 trials, because that will give them the green light to use this for the public. It is now we come to the dramatic moment. This is, I've talked about the movies. Gregory's book is perfect for the scene of wildfire in Andromeda Strain. That happened earlier with Zhang calling his friend Holmes in Australia. I've talked about the invasion of the body snatchers when Kevin McCarthy calls the White House and the White House doesn't call him back or they won't take his phone call. Okay, now we come to a moment that the science fiction movies never like, because it's about success, you know? It's about defeating the monsters. It is now November, I believe it's November 8th, yes, we're at Pfizer. Pfizer is a giant. You know, if there's a solar system somewhere without Pfizer, it's not going to be healthy. You need Pfizer to be healthy. You need Merck to be healthy. But Pfizer board, everybody involved, the bosses, the people listening are like, Gregory, what I thought of is how families wait for announcements about whether their child got into a school or not. You know, that's what it felt like. Everybody's sitting around trying to pretend they're not really nervous, but they hadn't slept the night before. So take us into what was a boardroom listening for a phone call from another Pfizer employee who is going to hear information from the government. Is that who's making the original phone call of the results of phase 3 trial? Where is the boardroom?
Yeah, so these are a group of executives in a Westchester Pfizer office, and it's about a dozen of them, maybe 10 or so. They've got some food they're picking at, but no one has any appetite, and no one slept, and they're trying to make small talk, and they're all they're trying to act relaxed, but they're not, and they're basically counting down to getting the data, the results from the phase three, the all-important trial to see if their vaccine actually works. And they realize that the data isn't just important for Pfizer. It's important for mankind because they've got this mRNA approach, which Moderna does too. So in other words, if Pfizer fails or just has really weak, disappointing results, then Moderna probably will too. And that means this pandemic is probably going to last years. So they could not be more nervous and scared. And they're waiting and they're trying to see, and they get the call. Well, they're waiting for, they have a colleague who's in touch with the independent committee that has the data. And they're waiting, and time drags on, an hour, hour and a half, even longer. They keep waiting for this woman, her name is Katherine Jansen, to tell them the results. And they're sending texts, you know, what is it? When are you calling? And she texts back, hang on, guys. And they're like, wait, hang on, is that good news or bad news? Wait, maybe that's bad news if we don't have any results yet. They're trying to read into it. They can't even figure it out. Finally, they get the results, and their vaccine is 95%. Protective, and the room explodes. They hug each other. The CEO literally says, I love you. I love you. He can't help himself. He's not clear who he's saying it and telling that to. It's a really remarkably dramatic scene. Yeah.
What they're waiting for is this vast trial that they put out, phase three. They give the vaccine to some people and other people don't get it, but nobody knows. And when of this group, they look at how many actually come down with the virus. And they want to know, did that person receive their vaccine or not? If the majority of them did receive the vaccine and they got the virus in any event, it's a failure. If the majority of them do not get the virus and they receive the vaccine, it's a success. But there are degrees here. So what we're looking at with 94.5%, to be specific, 90-95% means maybe one person in the group got the vaccine and got the virus. Sunday, November 8th is the date I have for Pfizer. That's Pfizer.
Yes.
Moderna is going to go through a week later. Notice the horse race. The horse race is now coming down to the final steps. Pfizer has the vast ability to manufacture. They have everything working. They don't have to beg for the money. Moderna has one route. That's Juan Andres with the three refrigerators. But they're ready to be successful or failure as well. So it is now Sunday, November 15th. Stefan Bancel and Stephen Hoge, is that the name? That's the name of the president.
Yes.
They're waiting for results, and they're equally nervous and in denial, especially Bancel. This is the payoff. He's a very wealthy man, but something else drives him, Gregory. Do we know what it is?
Oh, ambition, changing the world, helping lives, saving lives, getting even wealthier. There are all kinds of motivations for all my characters.
Did he know that on the 15th, did he know that Pfizer had already received the positive call?
Yes. So on the one hand, Bancel and Hoge, that was a good sign for them. Well, if Pfizer is 95% and they also have mRNA approach, then maybe we could be something closer to that. But on the other hand, can you imagine the pressure they're feeling? They have to keep up with Pfizer. This is Pfizer, the giant. They've got, you know, thousands of scientists working there, and they're working with BioNTech on this thing. And little Moderna is trying to keep up, and they're worried their vaccine is not going to come close to 95%. And they just want to get somewhere close, so it's not an embarrassing comparison with Pfizer.
So on the 15th, they get a phone call, and the phone call is positive. What is their rating from the phase three trials?
Well, you know, there's a lot of drama that day too. So Stephen Hogue's the one who is on a Zoom call, and he's waiting and he's looking at the faces of the committee members for some sign. Guys, put a smile on your face. Why are you looking so downbeat? And maybe that means we have bad results.
I think some of them were checking their emails. They weren't even paying attention to the announcement.
Yeah, because they knew the results already, this committee, and they'd spend hours and hours discussing them, et cetera. So by then, they were kind of bored. The committee was bored. But Stephen Hogan, this is his whole life's work. Their whole future, the pandemic is depending on this. And so the last thing he wanted was people bored on the Zoom call. And that's what he's seeing. He's like, oh, my God, that's not a good sign. These people can't even stay interested enough to look at the camera here. Not a great sign. But then, as you suggest, get the data. It's great data. It's just as good, if not better, than Pfizer's. And he's like, wait, hold on here. This is crazy. And he doesn't even listen to what they're saying. He hears this number and he blanks out. And then he gets scared. He's like, oh my God, I blanked out. And we're giving all these details and we're going to have to share with investors. We're going to get sued by the SEC because we didn't share enough information. And just because he blanked out, he didn't realize that later it was going to be an email with all the details, but he starts freaking out about that. So yeah, they couldn't be happier. It's a home run. He texts his colleagues. It's a home run. 94.5%. And everyone explodes in the Moderna office as well.
We mentioned that the markets responded positively as well to all these decisions, and the ratings for phase three have all stood up. Now we go to November 23rd, 2020. This happened within easy memory. The announcement hits the Wall Street Journal about Oxford AstraZeneca. What is that announcement, Gregory?
Not nearly as good. Their approach is a fine one, but not nearly as protective as the mRNA vaccines. It's not, and also they don't present their data well. So on the one hand, it looks about 70% protective, but on the other hand, some people in their study had 90% or so protection, which is not far from the mRNA ones. And that's sort of the data that they emphasize. And then people start picking it apart right away. It looks like data mining. Why are you emphasizing this small group that got 90% protection? Why not the overall number, which is about 70% protection? It just blows up in their face. And frankly, it was an issue of public relations more than it was vaccine. They just didn't convey their data in a clear enough fashion.
And Graham Hill didn't respond well. He was extremely rattled by this.
Well, listen, to Hill, he's a scientist. He and his colleagues have created this vaccine, which they think is very protective. And it's also a very cheap vaccine and inexpensive to produce compared with the mRNA one. So they say to themselves, hey, our vaccine is going to save lives all over the world. Why is everybody so critical of us? And there's good reason why people are critical. You can't isolate one piece of data in an overall study and say 90% of protection when it wasn't close to that. So there's reason why people are unhappy with Oxford and with AstraZeneca. But to Adrian Hill's credit, he says, we succeeded in creating a protective vaccine. Why is everybody so critical of me? And there's irony there because this guy, Adrian Hill, had spent his whole life being critical of others.
As I note that in the reporting in the Wall Street Journal, February, March, April, May of this year, 2021, AstraZeneca has become something of a political football between states because it's identified with Britain, gets mixed up with Brexit. A lot of prejudice comes out around this vaccine, but it is a successful vaccine, and it is now being exported to the world. Now we come February 27th is my date here, Gregory, 2021. The FDA gives J&J somewhere between 66% and 72% efficaciousness, and I believe that is also a success because of what we said earlier. J&J vaccine can go to the developing world because it doesn't require sophisticated transportation.
Yes, not just that, but also at that point you had Delta variant, so a 70% or so protection by the J&J vaccine, and it's a one-shot vaccine, so people love that. 70% protection from Delta variant is quite good, and it's something to cheer and appreciate. Yeah, so they were feeling on top of the world. Dan Baruch had spent his life chasing an HIV vaccine. It didn't work, but to his credit, he shifted gears and created this, helped create this vaccine, and along with the J&J scientists, and it looked great.
Dan Baruch is still playing the violin, and he's still chasing the big one, AIDS. And so I'm sure if anybody's going to catch on, solve that puzzle, he will. All right, the little engine that couldn't, the little company that couldn't. It is now late January, Novavax 2021. What are the results?
So they come out with results that are as good as anybody's. They've got also about 90% protective. It's also important to remember that there was the Delta variant at the time, so it looked that much better because it was in the 90s or around 90, I should say. But there was Delta going on at the time. And people subsequently have criticized them. They haven't been able to manufacture these vaccines in the sizes, and they haven't been approved yet. They haven't been even merged the authorization in the United States. But and that's in large part because they couldn't find a partner. They didn't have a partner. They were doing it themselves, this little dinky company in Maryland. I do believe that in the months ahead, they will be authorized in countries around the world, and they will go into arms around the world, and they will be really effective and helpful vaccines for large parts of the world.
The book is A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine. Gregory Zuckerman is the author. When we come back, lessons learned and questions to be answered going forward about a pandemic that is not solved, is mitigated, but not solved. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.